Okay, here we are. We are back. It's Off the Hook Overtime. Let's make sure everybody made it. Emmanuel here, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm just going to check that thing for you.
Check that thing. Yeah, please check that. Alex, are you there?
I am indeed.
Okay, I hope your bandwidth survives the trip because it's got to go double for overtime. Rob, Gila, you're in the same place, so you both there?
We are indeed.
Okay, both at the same time.
Load balancing.
Okay, good. we are here, overtime. First of all, anybody has anything additional they wanted to say that they weren't able to say on the show, please. I know there's a lot to talk about, and time goes by so fast. Alex, I know you have some things.
Oh, I always have a few things. I mean, it's like this whole show is just like pulling the string on a doll and getting them to speak whenever I'm here. And I think, you know, while we're waiting for a caller to come in, I want to say I definitely echo the same sentiments as you and Rob and Gila and Kyle with regard to physical access to the Senate and some of these computer systems and things. I definitely think that there were foreign adversaries and foreign agents that had to be part of that mob. It would have been extraordinarily bizarre.
What a missed opportunity if they weren't. I mean, imagine, you're a spy and that's going on. Hey, free access to the Capitol building? Of course, there has to be.
You know, yet on the other hand, too, I mean, you do have to think that the Capitol building itself is a public building. People are allowed in there. It's not like the White House. And so, you know, there's always the opportunity for somebody to sneak around. It's not an entirely secure area. It's not a SCIF. It's not a secure information facility, you know. But also, on the other hand, the Capitol does have access to classified documents, and there are classified documents there. And so from an intelligence perspective, that's what's particularly scary to me. And if there were national security implications arising from this seditious insurrection that we had last Wednesday, we may never know about them.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Well, I'm here. Good evening, folks.
It's Bobson again from Bulgaria.
Bobson.
Yes. I just wanted to tell you that you were missed not being on the radio last week.
We missed not being on the radio as well. There's a lot of missing going on.
You were being missed as you weren't on the radio.
And we're being missed now for being on the radio, I'm sure. I'm sure of that as well.
Well,
yeah.
No, I mean, with all the bad news coming from the D.C. area and all that, on that day I was looking forward to hearing your show on WBA.
Well, we did tell you the week beforehand that we weren't going to be on the next week. So,
maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Maybe not.
Not hearing the show with all the news coming in through various channels was a bit of a minor bother, shall I
say. Well, let's get this out of the way now. We're not on next week, so let's make sure there's no disappointment.
Oh, sorry to hear about that. The thing about Zulu time, it was named because Zulu is the word used for the last letter of the alphabet in the radio.
Right. Okay.
The phonetic alphabet.
I don't mean to profess my ignorance, although I constantly do profess my ignorance, but I always thought UTC, Greenwich Mean Time, I thought those were the standards. I'm not familiar with Zulu being used.
The same time zone as GMT and UTC, but they use zero time for various purposes, so it's shorter, and the Z is called Zulu in the radio alphabet thing.
Okay, someone show me the Z. Next time there's a timestamp, show me that Z.
It's 2 hours from it, but oh well.
Uh-huh. Anything else other than the time zones that you wish to bring up?
Well, I enjoyed the show, and last week was unpleasant, and I hope. And you also mentioned that P messaging thing that is, there's a family of German architects from the 14th century called Parler, which is how most people try and pronounce it, but it's named after a French verb, the thing in it.
Which means to
French
speak.
It's pronounced right.
Parler.
Parler.
Yes.
Which is what an acquaintance of mine pointed out.
Right. But somehow I can't see, talking about a group of fascists and having a French word like that. Although, I guess, there are a lot of French fascists.
Talking about the service providers that the fascists were making use of. And I heard it called Parler on Euronews television, so it might, as it's based in France.
Right, they're French to begin with. Bobson, let me ask you, was there much of a reaction in Bulgaria to what was going on in D.C. last week? What kind of, how was it reported in the media there?
I don't follow local media much because there's little to.
Well, you're in Bulgaria. You must be aware of what people are saying, or newspaper, or just word in the street.
Yeah, what's the reaction?
We're not getting out much because of the pandemic.
So you could be anywhere in the world and it doesn't matter because you have no contact with anything.
Yeah.
You pick up maybe, you know, stray conversations through the window or something, or people running around holding signs, nothing like that?
Well, I didn't see any people running around holding signs.
Okay, so the people are not running around Bulgaria holding signs. No Trump rallies going on outside Bobson's window.
Well,
so we
not
know that
in my neighborhood anyway.
All right.
I didn't try and see how things were going near the American embassy, which is not very far away from my house, but it's a trip. I mean, 2 or 3 subway stations or something like that, so I haven't been there for years now.
Well, that's information that we now know. We'll keep that in mind. Bobson, final words, because we do want to take some more calls.
Oh, I'll leave my final words for several decades from now. Thank you very much, if you don't mind. And it's great hearing from you. And
fair enough. All right, well, stay safe over there. And yeah, we'll try to stay safe here as well. And thank you for listening, and thank you for calling.
Sure. Have a great evening.
All right. So Bobson in Bulgaria there. That's one of our regular callers here on Overtime. That means the phone is open again, 802-321-4225. We have a one-line phone. You wouldn't believe how hard it is to get one of those. Now, Alex, I'd like for you to continue your discourse about the security aspects of invading the Capitol. One thing, you say that the Capitol is it's a public building. And I think this is a defense a lot of these people are going to use, that, I didn't know I was intruding. I didn't know I was trespassing because the Capitol is an open building. It's, you know, it's part of our government. And, you know, when we've been in these government buildings, once you're inside, you pretty much can walk around. You even see some representatives. One thing you can't do is go into Nancy Pelosi's office and sit at her desk. That's pretty much out of bounds. And I think anybody would know that. But as far as actually walking into the building, I don't know. Is the expectation of a metal detector something that people should expect? And if they just happen to find themselves inside the building without one, is that enough for them to be able to realize that they maybe have broken in without realizing it?
Well, look, I mean, just like any place, right? Sometimes you're authorized to be there and sometimes you're not. If you were having a barbecue at your house, Emmanuel, and you invited all the listeners over to the barbecue, and then at midnight you said, all right, everybody has to go home. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And Rob just decides to stick around. He doesn't want to leave. He's a lingerer. He's a malingerer. You know, all kinds of things that Rob T. Firefly is. Right? He would be trespassing. So if you are in a public place where you're not supposed to be at that particular time, which on Wednesday, January 6th, they were not supposed to be in that building at that particular time, they're trespassing. Just like you're trespassing if you hang out in a public park after dark.
I can't believe Rob told you that story. Wow.
Inside baseball. But no, I would say if you find yourself entering a building through a door that's been smashed open by a big unruly mob, there's broken glass and like tear gas canisters everywhere, chances are you're not supposed to be where you are.
And also, yeah, you're in a mob saying, let's storm the Capitol, and you just heard this big fat idiot tell you that you have to take back your country and things like that. It should dawn upon you that maybe you've crossed the line.
The just to point out, the kinds of barriers and directional stuff that was there was on par with like what you would see in a museum or what tour groups would obey. This is beyond that. These are not tour groups that are there to obey signs that say this area closed. They're not reading.
Did you notice though that so many of them walked between the ropes?
Well, that's a different thing.
What was that about?
Okay, so by contrast, I think the sheer magnitude and weight of that place is so much bigger than who they are that it just forced them to become spectators to its majesty. Like, looking at all this history and being in that space, it is a living space, a living expression of American history. And so I think the behavior, because there were little velvet lanes there, and there were so many, such a chaotic mix of people, that the space sort of implored them to behave that way or follow it. And again, the confusion, I think a lot of people didn't really realize what they were getting into because they're victims of their own delusion.
Well put. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey, it's Bobcat. How are you guys?
Hey, how you doing? What's up?
Right. So just to start, Trump is an idiot. I did not vote for him twice, and I'm not defending him now or any of these idiots. But during the Kavanaugh hearings, Mitch McConnell's office was occupied. There were people doing human megaphone in there. They occupied another office building. Amy Schumer got arrested, and there's a picture of her online yelling at black and brown Capitol police officers, waving her hands. And then AOC occupied Nancy Pelosi's office, the same one that idiot was putting his feet on the desk. And there were people sitting there with signs saying green jobs now. So this is not new, except for smashing the windows. This stuff has happened before.
Okay, but I think AOC paying a visit to Nancy Pelosi is a little different than some jackass from Alabama sitting at a desk.
These were other people who were not AOC. There were dozens of people jammed in that little office with the curtains, the nice curtains, in Nancy Pelosi's office that you said you shouldn't be occupying. Well, it was occupied. They didn't break anything as far as I know. They didn't steal anything. That redounds to their benefit. But every single thing that we're seeing happening now has happened before. I keep hearing there hasn't been a Confederate flag ever in the U.S. Capitol, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. They just got rid of the last Confederate flag, which was the Alabama flag, in June of last year. And let's see, a terrorist attack in 1947, Puerto Rican national terrorist shot up the House of Representatives. So all of this has happened before. It's just in a different format. I condemn all of it. And that's
okay. Well, let's just go with that last sentence.
History.
Let's just go with I condemn all of it. I think that's what we all need to do at this point. But Aguila, did you have something to add?
I did. I'm going back to what Kyle was echoing again, saying about the stanchions. I believe that, you know, you could see the majesty of the place, and I'm with you, and I'm fascinated that the rule that they followed was stanchions. Like, I was watching somebody walking through Statuary Hall and moving the stanchions to widen the aisle. But the thing that I keep coming back to is the poop.
What poop? I don't know about this.
Oh, they pooped. They put poop on the statues. They pooped in the hallways. There was human feces.
Wait, how do you,
in
how do you
the
even
Capitol.
Do that? In the middle of a crowd, you just say, hey, I'm gonna let go right here? Wow.
I mean, there was probably enough cover to drop trowel without being seen, I'm assuming. But there have been peaceful occupations before. And when you think about when people were protesting a couple years ago about healthcare being taken away, and you see these really visceral pictures of people with disabilities, people in wheelchairs being bodily removed by the Capitol Police, and then you compare that to these people being walked down the steps of the Capitol, and I promise you that none of the previous protesters pooped in the Capitol and then smeared it on Martin Van Buren.
At least not on purpose. But, wow.
Yeah, I just don't think any of the things that have happened in there like this, you could piece together them over in any way that would come close to what we saw. And to have so much chaos, people with weapons and The possibility of electronics being compromised and kill teams. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Bobcat, any final word from you? We've got to open up the phone lines.
There's no secret information that's kept in the congressional office, open offices. It's all in secure compartmented facilities. You don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
And one thing. A journalist did take that picture of a PC in Nancy Pelosi's office. It was still logged on. Obviously, there should be a timer on Windows login to turn it off after 5 minutes.
All right. Well, that free bit of advice we will pass on to the people in the Capitol building. Bobcat, thanks for your call. Good hearing from you, and keep listening.
All right, we will.
Take care. Bobcat and Bobson. Those are our two calls so far. So if your name begins with Bob Calls, 802-321-4225. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, look, I think Bobcat has made a valid point here. And also for the Gila's point, I think the issue here is that, you know, there may have been in the past protests and occupations of certain offices that were very similar in kind. But what we're talking about here is a massive difference of degree. Right? We've never seen anything. So there's, you know, that it's like a philosophical problem, right? You know, you have differences of kind, differences of degree. This obviously was an occupation, an insurrection to a degree that has never been seen at the Capitol in the history of this country. And that's why it is such a big deal. I do, I think Bobcat's absolutely right. You know, most of the classified stuff is going to be in SCIFs.
Let's hope so.
That's where CISI and HPSI, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, would do their work.
What do you call them?
HPSI and CISI.
I thought those were like the cats or something that live there. That's okay. Seems kind of a silly name for something serious.
They're pretty serious. Absolutely. So no, I think his point is well taken, that this isn't entirely unprecedented, but the degree to which the Capitol was occupied was certainly unprecedented.
Go ahead, Rob.
And we know why that is. It's because, you know, I don't have my history books in front of me, but I don't think any of those past protests were by a crowd that's been whipped into a frenzy by the sitting presidents of the United States down the freaking road.
Yeah, that's pretty doubtful. We have another call. Let's take this call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, I've never called before.
Welcome.
My name's Sal. I just wanted to say thank you to you guys. I came across your magazine for the first time in 1993. I grew up in rural Texas, and you opened up a whole universe for me.
Wow.
I don't think if I had not found the magazine, I wouldn't do what I do today. I wouldn't have gotten into so much trouble or met some great people. But, yeah, like, I'm really sad the era of freaking is kind of over, but in a way we won. So.
Yeah, and first of all, thank you so much for that acknowledgement. That really keeps us going. But, you know, freaking is never over. There are always new challenges and new things to invent and play with. I don't know if you've heard us playing our old voicemail messages from decades ago. There's just so much, of course, that's still the past, but there are other developments and just ways of creating new bits of technology. So the important thing is the spirit, you know, and I think that spirit is very much alive today.
Oh, yeah, it's never going away. It's just really cool, and I wanted to say thank you to you guys, because I know the last year, I'm still a subscriber, I know the last year has been really hard, I'm really happy you guys have kept everything going. Because, you know, it kind of keeps my spirit going, and I'm sure it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, your spirit means a lot to us, and that's what keeps us going. Because seriously, this has been a terrible year for so many people, and we've faced some very serious challenges, but we've made it this far thanks to people like you and to all the people that put hope together over the summer. So fingers crossed, we're going to keep doing what we do, and hopefully you'll keep doing what you do as well, and stay enlightened.
Yep, that's all I wanted to say. But I'm so glad you guys still have your show.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Go ahead, Alex. You look like you had something to say.
Oh, I just thought that was such a great call.
Wasn't it?
Really, really awesome. I mean, great to hear from somebody, you know, who's been such a long-term reader, subscriber. And I saw something the other day on Twitter. It might have been a week ago, or it was a few days ago. Right? But it was the it seemed like it was the 37th anniversary of 2600 Magazine.
That was the 12th. So, wait a minute. It was today.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday. No, we mean last week. Yeah, apparently we mailed out our first issue on January 12th, 1984. And we got into some sort of a weird tradition where we used to send it out literally in envelopes. We'd go to the post office, and they'd be canceled on that day because we only had like 50 subscribers at that point. But we just wound up doing it on the 12th of every month because back then we were a three-page newsletter that came out every month. So I don't know how long we kept that up for. At least 6 months, everything was mailed out on the 12th. And then I think it fell on a Sunday at some point, and we just sort of fell out of the habit. So a little bit of history there for you.
Yeah, but 37 years is pretty incredible. And obviously that spans, you know, when our callers started listening in 1993. Mm-hmm. I think I was I probably started listening and reading, writing around that same time, maybe shortly thereafter. I feel like I was in, I think it was maybe 1994. When I started going to 2600 meetings in Manhattan. So, yeah, so she and I have got something in common.
And speaking of those meetings in Manhattan, a lot of people are asking, when will the meetings happen? We don't know because we don't know as much as anybody else. But I will say what we started the show with, announcements about the vaccine. The more people go and get that vaccine, the better. Because that's one less person that can catch COVID-19. And once enough people are around that can't catch it, the disease is going to have a very hard time spreading, and we'll be able to move about freely again, which will be great. And those meetings will start up again. We're going to kind of do a reboot and sort of start from scratch. We'll probably have – it'll seem like we have a lot less meetings because we're starting from zero. But if you want to start a meeting, you'll be able to. And we'll just have a whole bunch of different meetings, which I think will be great. For those who don't know, 2600 Meetings, the magazine basically has very loosely affiliated meetings, more like gatherings where readers, people who have interest in technology, meet on the first Friday of every month, usually in some kind of food court or public space, so that people can just come upon you by accident. It's really amazing. We started the first ones back in 1987 at the what's known now as the Citigroup building. Back then it was a Citicorp center, and we just hung out there, met the most amazing people. I remember the people from Hackers when they were making the film stopped by a meeting. We've had all kinds of people come by, and other stories in other cities as well, from Los Angeles to Austin to Boston to Chicago, and small places as well. So it's magic. It really is. And having it all on the same day, I think that's really a pretty awesome thing as well. Our phone lines are open, I believe, 802-321-4225. One thing we don't have is a light that tells us if somebody's on hold. I don't think anybody is on hold. And we also have to, this is what Kyle has to do. Every time we get a phone call, you hear the phone ring, but he has to pick it up. And because Google makes us do this for some reason, you have to hit a 1 and then hang the phone back up. So that's not us being wise asses. If you call in and you hear a touch tone, that's Kyle picking up the phone, hitting a 1, and hanging you up again so that you're next in line. And here we go. He's hitting the 1, and now you're going to hang up the phone. And since we're not talking about anything else, I'm going to just bring the phone up now and say, hello, you are on Off the Hook Overtime.
How you doing, guys? I've been listening to the show, trying to call in, getting the recordings. I left you a message. But moving on, I just think this was a terrible, terrible thing. But, you know, we haven't just had a wonderful, peaceful country from day one, and we moved in, and somebody was already here, and everything went fine. Some of this happened right from the beginning. And then, you know, the books may say one thing, we scalp people and then blame them for doing all the scalping and demonize them type of thing. They had two-story houses they lived in when we got here, but to hear it told, oh, there were teepees and there were savages, and on and on and on. I think this was terrible. And the other thing is, look at this bunch. What kind of bunch is that? And would you count on them to take over something, or do they have discipline and organization? They can't even hold themselves from defecating.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because that's how I felt when the Trump administration started. Well, actually, that's how I felt during the election campaign in 2016. What would happen if these people actually got in charge somehow? What kind of a nightmare would that be? Well, I have my answer to that. Now I know. But, yeah, I take your point. What kind of regime would the people storming the Capitol have instituted? That would have been something, but I don't want to find that out at all.
You guys are doing a great job. I'm going to email you something about that beautiful car in the driving Miss Daisy because you talked about it, but that's not the place right now for this show.
And that's on the other show, too. Yes, thank you so much. And where are you calling from?
I'm in Brad from Brentwood. I used to be on the Board of Elections and call you.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember.
I'm going to Setauket tomorrow for dental.
I'm sorry, say again?
And I'm going to Setauket, to Stony Brook, for dental tomorrow.
Oh, good, okay.
An area you guys are familiar with.
So
well,
quote,
we were
yeah.
talking about the Setauket Patriots, which is a right-wing group that sent, I think, 400 people to the rally last week, and they're trying to tell people that they had nothing to do. They had nothing to do with the bad things. They only did the good things.
And also, Suffolk Progressive, they were just in the news.
Right, well, they're the other side. They were basically outside Lee Zeldin's office, our local representative in Suffolk County.
Right, them.
So,
okay,
all right, thanks for your call. Thanks for the support.
Okay, I'm going to email you.
All right, take care. You know, it's interesting. We mentioned this on the other show last night on the other station. I don't know if you guys know this, but Suffolk County is the most populated county in the country that voted for Trump. The country. Right here in New York. What's
yeah,
wrong
it
with this?
Me.
Does it not surprise you? You would think other places would exceed. Maybe we should just split up the county. We were going to have a Pecana County at one point. We would avoid things like this.
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me. It's been such a Republican stronghold for so long that it is a totally red place. There are, I think, little pockets of blue here and there. And from what I hear from friends of mine, gay friends of mine that are still out on Long Island, that for a lot of these towns, a lot of these places feel very hostile to them now because of all of the overt and in-your-face Trump supporters that are roving around Long Island now.
Yeah, it's something. And keep in mind, these people are not going away after Trump. They're still going to – and they're going to be mad. And we've got to deal with this one way or another. Gila, I know you had something.
I did, because I was thinking about Suffolk County. I was looking – I was trying to find vaccine information for a family member who lives in Suffolk County and was eligible in Group 1B. You can find great information about how to get vaccinated and where to go for Nassau County. Suffolk County, I don't think, wants people to get vaccinated because they just do not have decent information about where to go.
Well, we had we talked about something yesterday on the other show because we were in Suffolk County, and I think if you just go to the SuffolkCounty.gov website, it might not be the exact website, but there is a listing someplace of pharmacies.
Like Nassau County and New York City, Nassau County have these really user friendly, put in your like super easy to use.
Right.
And Suffolk County, it was buried under so many layers of things. You know, I found it very interesting, and especially in light of what you're saying now.
Did you find it though?
No.
Oh. Well, okay. Hang on. I'm finding something right now. SuffolkCountyNY. See, it's different. SuffolkCountyNY.gov. /vaccine.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's a list there, but there's a frequently asked question, so, and where should I go to get vaccinated? Okay. State Department of Health will share additional information on where New Yorkers get vaccinated. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's not exactly the easiest thing.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but there's a phone number. You can call 833-697-4829. That's 833-NYS-4VAX, V-A-X, NYS, New York State.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you persist, eventually you'll get somebody who at least will be sympathetic.
Okay. Good to know. I'll pass that along.
And multiply that by every single county in the country, and that's what we're facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope people get the vaccine because, you know, I'm hearing hospital workers are saying they're not going to get the vaccine. What kind of mentality is that? You work in a hospital, you should know better. And if people don't get the vaccine, this disease is going to stick around for a whole lot longer. So I don't know.
People are very wary. I mean, the way this went and the way it was handled, dare I say, it's kind of made people very skeptical of what they've been told because there's a lot of mistrust for who really is an authority.
But why? Why is there mistrust? I don't get that. And yeah, I'd be wary of the disease. That's something to be wary of. But, I mean, everything that we've been told by the people who know what they're talking about, you know, the Dr. Fauci's, everything has come true. We've seen the spikes when they said we were going to see the spikes. We've seen the numbers go up exactly as badly as they predicted. And all the people that said there wasn't an issue, they've been proven to be wrong time and time again. They keep infecting people. That's another thing. You heard about the story in the Capitol where while they were huddled, hiding from the rampaging mob, there were Republicans who refused to put on masks. And now some of their colleagues have caught COVID-19 because some of those jackasses had the disease, refused to put on a mask, and infected some of their fellow Congress people. I mean, for that, I think you should be kicked out of Congress. There's a lot of things I think you should be kicked out of Congress for. Let's see if we can take one more phone call, 802-321-4225. We have an open line, 802-321-HACK is our phone number. We're going to call it a night in just a couple of minutes, but did you guys have anything additional to add that you're pointing at? Rob. Yes, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just with the vaccine situation, I mean, like, I was very excited to hear about the vaccines. I'm looking very much forward to getting it when it becomes available to me, but I'm also very happy to wait my turn and let the people who need it first get theirs, the frontline workers, the people at risk, and so on. But you're hearing about people in hospitals and such who don't want their vaccines. There should be some kind of listing where people like me can go, well, can I have your one?
Yeah.
We're not using it?
Well, there's instances where people are in drugstores, and there's an announcement on the PA saying, anybody wants a shot, come to the back right now, because it's about to go bad because somebody didn't show up for an appointment. And, yeah, I don't spend a lot of time hanging out in drugstores, but if that's the kind of thing you do, you might actually get lucky and be able to get your shot early. But I mean, I looked up when I'm supposed to get mine. It's like, you know, three people behind me in the list of all the potential people that are supposed to qualify. So it's going to be a while unless a lot of people don't want it. Hey, you don't want it. Take your chances. But I intend to go with science on this. Go ahead, Alex.
We've been seeing some interesting things as well in the DNS with the domain name system with regard to the vaccine. And scheduling and acquisition of the vaccine as well, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. There's a lot of misinformation and a lot of fraud that comes along with vaccinations right now. We've seen two things that are very concerning that I'd want to address right now to the listeners. One is we've seen a bunch of domains that have hosted content on them that pertain to home vaccination services. Sign up for this home vaccination service, pay $100 in advance, and we'll have somebody come to your home and vaccinate you so that you don't have to go to a drugstore, you don't have to wait, et cetera. Some of these even charge upwards of $5,000 for you to, like, let's say, register your business for you know, home vaccination or vaccination at the office space.
You know the vaccine is free. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, right.
That's quite a profit they're making.
And there's no such thing as home vaccination right now. Right. And so a lot of these, you know, we believe that these home vaccination services, if anybody's getting emailed about them, if people are getting solicited for these types of services, they should be extraordinarily skeptical.
Just because somebody comes to your house and stabs you with a needle doesn't mean that they're qualified and doesn't mean you're getting the vaccine. I can't believe I have to say this, but that's the truth.
And apparently that did happen to some elderly woman in the UK as well. The other thing that we've seen, too, is that a lot of vaccination scheduling services, and in particular we've found several retirement communities in Florida that are distributing the vaccine to their populations are using very insecure scheduling systems to make these appointments. Namely, they're using Eventbrite or other online systems that require no authentication whatsoever. So let's say hypothetically, you know, you're a threat actor or even somebody who's an anti-vaxxer, somebody who believes that the vaccine is a mind control, complacency drug that, you know, is even worse than fluoride, right? And you just decide you want to write a script, write a bot that's going to take up all of these vaccination spots. It's very, very easy to do. And, in fact, there aren't all that many. You wouldn't even have to write a script to do it. Then you have if that's done through these insecure systems for scheduling vaccine appointments, if that is done, then you have just created an administrative nightmare for whoever or whatever medical office or personnel are supposed to be dealing with these appointments.
Holy
because
crap.
This is really not helpful.
No, it is helpful because people need to know about this. If you can destroy the system that easily, and there are idiots out there that want to destroy the system, you can bet the system's being destroyed.
Oh, no, absolutely. Doubt. I mean, look, it's incredibly sad too, because the only option that you would have in that situation, if all these appointments were taken up by a bot, would be to cancel all the appointments and then ask for somebody to make them all again, or to re-verify every single one of them.
This could also be done by somebody who wants to get the shot early. So nobody showed up for the shot that day, so there's an extra shot. Hey, you want it? Okay. But it could also be by the anti-vaxxers. This is very serious. And, Alex, I want to talk to you about this, because if it is, in fact, that easy, people need to know about this. And it needs to be a scandal. And I think we have another call. Okay.
Take this call.
You didn't hit one hard enough, apparently, because Google is still on there. Okay. And we have a caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, let me do this. I'm very grateful for your program, and it's just amazing that I'm up here in Woodstock, New York, and I'd like to send you some email about information about the vaccine. I was wondering if that's something I could do. I don't know your email.
Well, if you can send an email, then you can definitely do it. The email address is oth@2600.com. That's oth for off the hook, and at 2600.com. And
okay.
That goes to everybody affiliated with the program.
Okay, because I think it would be important for you to understand that there's information out there that this thing they're calling a vaccine is not a vaccine.
Okay, well, you know,
I can send you the information.
Send us the information, and what we'll do is we'll look at it, and we'll make a decision what we're going to do with it after that. But thanks for the call. That's all I have patience for right now. I don't want to get into a debate about what a vaccine is and what a vaccine isn't. We're in a health crisis, people, and we have to deal with it. And there's some element of trust you're going to have to display at some point towards people who know what they're talking about. And if there's some massive conspiracy that involves everybody from Venezuela to socialists to all sorts of election officials and it's just at some point you have to say enough. It doesn't make any sense, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a field hospital at the university. There's, you know, trailers parked in front of hospitals. There's a real crisis. California is a mess right now.
Yeah.
It's really, really tragic what's happening across the country. So
across the world.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to question a vaccine, which one? There's like 10 of them.
You know, people want to question the vaccine. Go ahead, question the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. I'll get the vaccine. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't know how much clearer I can be. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, among the types of work I've done for a living, one of them is hardware engineer, and I would just like to put out there that there are no such things as microchips that they can dissolve into a thing that could into a liquid that they could inject into you. There was a great story going around of what purported to be the diagram of a microchip that Bill Gates was tricking you into getting vaccinated into you. It was the diagram of a guitar effects pedal. There's just so much crap out there, and yeah, go with the science. We believe in science, I think it's safe to say, and we think you should.
Yeah, and if the scientists are all out to get you, you're going to lose anyway, so you might as well. No, that's a horrible thing to say, but come on, they're not out to get you. They're not out to, I don't know what people think scientists are going to do. Let's look at the people that are anti-science. If that's your crowd, good luck. Any final words? I think those are pretty good final words on many levels. But
just as much as possible, I would like to wish everyone out there a very happy 2021. Let's see how good we can make this one.
It might be too late already. I don't know. we're 15 days in, less than 15 days in, and already it's gone to crap. But at least there's hope. At least there's hope that things will change. In 1 week, we'll have a new president. Maybe that'll make a difference. Well, of course, it's got to make a difference. Kyle's got a big bottle of vodka, I think. Was that gin?
That's rum.
It's rum. Yeah. It's all clear, so it's hard to see from a distance. And Alex, you're holding something up. What are you holding up? I can't see that.
I'm holding a
This is Sasha.
You called a child on the phone.
Oh, wow. He's virtually...
Oh, that's your child. Okay.
Yeah, he's FaceTime bombing the show.
My son is FaceTime bombing off the hook overtime right now. Sasha, want to say hi to anybody?
No.
Okay.
I like him. He doesn't want to say hi to anybody. But thank you. Thank you for that. And guys, I really look forward to seeing you in person again sometime.
Yeah, I've gotten too used to this.
Yeah.
It would be great to enjoy what hopefully the vaccination and the future in 2021 will hold. Some of the things we missed in 2020 a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, think about what you want to do, when this is over. It's a good hashtag, actually, when this is over. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What activity do you want to embark upon? You don't have to go anywhere. You can stay in the neighborhood. But there are so many things that we've all sacrificed over the past year, and I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start. I'll say this. I want to go to Georgia because, boy, we owe them something.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just appreciate people more.
Never really spent time in Atlanta, but yeah.
Doesn't have to be Atlanta.
Being with people, and for no reason, just to share the presence of other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been a newfound love or something that was underrated before.
If someone coughs without covering their face, it's not the end of the world anymore. That would be nice. That would be something. I look forward to that day when someone coughs on me and I don't panic.
You don't care at all.
I'll care. I will care. I will get upset, but I won't. I won't call the police.
Well, I from my perspective, it will be great to see everybody in person again. I was nostalgic even during the show today, thinking about how much I miss the Wednesday night get-togethers that we had and getting together at WBAI at the station and then just hanging out with everyone afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It was the highlight of my week every week. I really enjoyed it. It was great. And
that was the highlight of your week? What kind of life do you have?
I know. Tell me about it. Well, I'm a lawyer, so...
Well, we just get together, complain about things for an hour, and maybe get some food somewhere, and that's it,
But think of it. Wow. He's right, though. Like, all the other producers and community members at the station at the cafe there. There's so many things in the neighborhood in Brooklyn we miss, and our engineers have been so helpful.
Too many of those things have disappeared now as a result of greedy landlords and just expectations that were unreachable for so many. So if we get through this, we're the lucky ones, and let's hope that day comes soon. All right, guys, we will see you in 2 weeks on Off the Hook and on Overtime, and please write to us, oth@2600.com. Stay safe. Please don't raid any buildings and cause interactions, and be thankful for the things you have and try to make them better.
That's right. No more sedition than usual. See you all in 2 weeks with a new president.
Bye.
Bye.